Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Today, we're examining the question, when will I be happy? The most important word in that question is when. As we strive to understand the habits of mind that cause us suffering, one that I often see in my own life and in my work as a life coach is the habit of thinking that I'm waiting for something or someone to change, to arrive, to happen, to transform in some way. And when that happens, then I can be happy. And by happiness, I mean in particular, being at peace, feeling content, breathing easily. Something I've been thinking about a lot on my morning walks with my partner. We take about a 3-mile walk in the morning. And the first part of it, we go down kind of a steep hill through the woods, but it's short. And then we walk for about a mile and we make a turn and then we walk uphill through a residential neighborhood. And there's a steep block and then a landing place, you know, at the cross street and then another steep block. And this happens for about 5 blocks. So my partner likes to tease me a little bit because even though she's about 5 inches taller than me and all legs, I always get to the top of the block first. And usually I'm like 10 or 12 paces ahead of her. So when she's teased me about it, like, why are you going so fast? Or how is it that you always manage to get up there first? At first, because I am not a student of physics, I said, well, it feels like I have to have enough momentum to get to the top. And I don't know what I think. If I slow down, I'm going to start moving backwards. But anyway, so that was my first explanation. And then I've been paying a little bit more attention to it. And I noticed that what's really happening is that I'm rushing to try to get through the steep part so that I can get to that flat place on the top. Because I think when I get to the flat place, then I can catch my breath. Then I can actually breathe more easily. I can be a little bit more at peace. And it's great because she's behind me, so I can tell myself I'm waiting for her to catch up. So, you know, what she's doing, right? She's walking same pace, steady pace, one step at a time. She gets to the top of each hill, not even really breaking a sweat or puffing hard. And honestly, by the time we get to about the 5th hill, it must be like walking with an aging bulldog for her because I am just huffing and puffing. And in fact, I not only can't breathe easily, I can barely catch my breath. So the last few days, I've only been doing this for a couple of weeks, but the last 2 days, I've tried the steady pace. Again, it's like a miracle, right? I can not only get to the top of each hill without huffing and puffing, I don't have to stop at the top of each hill, I can go on to the next block. So breathing just a little bit more easily. Breathing is something we do on this show. So we do this thing at the beginning called 3 deep breaths. It's an idea from Lori Cameron. If you don't know Lori Cameron's work, she's a mindfulness educator. She works often in corporations doing trainings. She's written a book about incorporating mindful practices into your daily life. And this is one. This is something I haven't mentioned this before, but I often do this. If I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm having a little trouble getting back to sleep, I do these 3 deep breaths. So here's how it works if you're new. The first breath, we're just going to try to pay attention to the sensation of the air entering our nostrils and exiting our mouth. For the second breath, we're going to try to notice any place in our body where we feel tension and relax. And then for the third breath, we're going to set our intention. What is it that we need for this moment at this time? And at the end of the inhalation, we're going to pause at the top and we're going to try to make the exhalation longer than the inhalation. Okay, so I'll lead you through this. You just breathe. So breath one, just feel the sensation of the breath entering and exiting your body. Breath two, Notice any place where you're feeling tension and relax. And breath three, set your intention for this moment. Thanks for joining me. I'll tell you, my intention for this moment is calmness, because this is my first day. It is not the first time that the podcast has been streamed live on Facebook, but it's been through the Transformation Talk Radio page. This is the first day that it's on my Facebook page. And so it makes me think about, you know, when babies run around naked, but their eyes are closed, so they think nobody can see them. I think before, because I wasn't on Facebook, I didn't imagine anybody could see me doing this. But here we are, and I'm glad you're with me. So our conversation today is focused on happiness. And overall, or in general, you know, we've been talking about the process of becoming students of our own mind in order that we can notice places our mind typically goes when we're not being mindful. And mindfulness is simply bringing our full attention and awareness to the present moment and doing so without judgment. So I've talked about some practices people can engage in to try to build mindfulness, to build a capacity for our peaceful and quiet mind, to build the habit of bringing our minds back to the present moment when it inevitably wanders, and also for noticing afterwards, where are those places that my mind often wanders? And last week we talked about the habit of judgment. That's a place where a lot of our minds wander into judging and fearful and negative thinking. And that certainly was my experience at a point in my life where I believed there was one obstacle to my happiness. And when that obstacle disappeared, I could finally know peace. So this was when I was finishing my dissertation. I was a very lucky person. I had a tremendously positive and fun graduate school experience at Southern Illinois Carbondale, go Salukis. And I had made great friends, lifelong friends. And I also just was an all around, it felt great to be there. And I was extremely lucky because towards the end of that, I was able to get a job at a small college in Minnesota, Gustavus Adolphus College, and had a great experience with that. It was kind of my dream job. But they were risk takers. They hired me even though I hadn't finished my dissertation. And I think we all thought that was going to be okay. I'm sure there was somebody who probably said to me at the time, you know, there's a lot of risk in this, but if they said it, I didn't hear it. So I went off to Minnesota and suffered every single day. I felt the burden of not being finished every day. I loved this job. I was good at this job. And I was putting it at risk every single day, right? It's still with me. It's a long time ago. But that feeling of what was happening in my life and the burden. So I was really fixated on this idea that there was only one thing keeping me down. You notice, I mean, I really felt this pressure on my chest. You can feel it kind of pushing me down. And I felt like I was failing every day as a result. So, and I thought about it every day, particularly at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to tell you a story probably a couple of shows from now about the healing power of friendship, because that is the reason that I was able to finish my dissertation. But today I'm going to kind of skip ahead to the place where I was almost done, 3.5 years in. The date was on the calendar. I had a defense date. I was going to go down to Carbondale. And even though I didn't feel that I had written a particularly good dissertation, it was going to be done. And as they say, the only good dissertation is a finished dissertation. So that was good. But I was sitting in my office and I was unhappy, even though that date was on the calendar. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to be any happier when this is over than I am right now. I was shocked by that revelation, but I also knew deep inside me that it was true. Probably one of the lowest points of that part of my life. So I was very fortunate. I had a friend who was a therapist, and I called her and I got a referral, and I spent about 2 years in therapy trying to learn to be kinder to myself. But the one thing I didn't learn, not because she probably didn't try to teach me, but it just didn't sink in, was I did not break the habit of mind of waiting for happiness. I was still a person who behaved as if there was a gift called happiness waiting for me just on the other side of the completed dissertation, the new job, a new relationship. I continued to live my life as if that's what was between me and where I needed to be. So today we're looking at this habit of mind that says, as soon as one thing happens, then I can be happy. And I think there are three ways in which we tend to play this out in our lives. Our expectation that there is an obstacle, an external force that's going to change, and when it changes, there is happiness and contentment on the other side. I think we use it in our relationships where we need someone else to change in order for us to be happy. And I think the third way is almost the opposite. It is being happy, but being willing to throw happiness away out of a fear of what's going to come next. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about these three different ways that we are very quick to get in the way of happiness in our lives. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. See you after the break.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Hi, this is Kimberly Carlson, and I would love for you to tune in to All In Healing Radio, where together we will begin to experience health, happiness, and harmony in all areas and aspects of life. Join us every first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. on TransformationTalkRadio.com. All In Healing will help you release layers of negative beliefs and energies for radiant health, deep joy, and greater abundance. Visit me at KimberlyCarlson.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we're talking about the habit of mind that says, as soon as X happens, I can be happy. Or it's not until X happens that I can be happy. And as I said before the break, I think this tends to play itself out in three different ways in our lives. The first is the way it played out for me with my dissertation. I was convinced that I could be happy, but that the dissertation was the obstacle, and that when that was finally completed, I would know happiness. The realization bolt from the blue that that wasn't going to be the case was really a gift, because it forced me to ask different questions about myself and my life and what I thought happiness looked like and meant and what role I played in being an obstacle to myself. So I want you to think about, what are the obstacles for you? What is between you right now and happiness? Now, I want to put a little break in there to say, right now, I can't imagine that there isn't anyone who wouldn't think, well, when the COVID pandemic ends, maybe I'll be happy. But I want to put that aside for a second, because I think it provides an important distinction that I want to make about challenging this habit of mind. And so I'm going to come back to that in a couple of minutes. But I want to think about the other things that you want you to think about with me, some of the other things that might get in the way, and all of the sometimes very ordinary and maybe even very small ways in which we are holding ourselves hostage to happiness. You know, I think a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that in that process of becoming a student of my own mind and asking myself, noticing how I talk to myself is very important. And one of my examples, when sometimes I can't stub my toe without that kind of mean voice saying, "You idiot, be more careful," right? So I think sometimes these are very ordinary ways. You know, is it getting up in the morning and saying, "If I can just get through today, then I can know peace. If I can just get this report completed, if I can just get the car fixed, if I can just do X or Y." Think about even something like when we used to go on vacation and go away on vacation, and you might really be looking forward to it and anticipating it. But then there's that point about 24 hours before you get home where you say, "Oh, I just need to get home and back to my routine. I can't be happy right now because I'm just so eager to get back to my routine and to my ordinary way of life." So that's what I want you to think about, is just not necessarily the big things, but the little ordinary ways in which you're constantly deferring your access to happiness by saying, "I have to get this obstacle out of my way." The second way I think it plays out is in our relationships. And it can be powerful and it can be problematic to say that the only way I can be happy is for you to change. But there are lots of ways in which we do that, aren't there? We really kind of have that often in our that idea in our path, or that our path is blocked because there's someone in the path who won't change their behavior. And we often think about the success or failure of our relationship being based on, if you understood me, if you loved me, if you really cared about me, you would change so that I can be happy. It's a very interesting construction. If you loved me, you would change, because when you change, I can be happy. And, you know, we can think about very difficult kind of high stakes situations where we would say, "Yeah, this person's behavior is definitely causing this person's unhappiness." But that's, you want to really ask some hard questions about that. If I really allow you to be the arbiter of my happiness, if I am utterly dependent on your behavior in order for me to know peace, that's a problem, right? I think we all know that, but that doesn't mean we don't fall into it. And sometimes, again, in very ordinary ways, right? "Really, I would be so much happier if you would pick up your socks. Really, I would be so much happier if you wouldn't speak to me in that tone of voice." So we're going to come back to these ideas in a minute, but just want you to be thinking about, what are some of the ordinary, maybe even very low stakes ways that you are expecting somebody, needing someone else to change in order for you to be happy? And how does that create not necessarily monumental unhappiness, but ordinary unhappiness, which is important too. And then the third idea, the way I think this plays itself out, is that we sometimes throw away our happiness. So I've been noticing this with the walking in the morning. I'm enjoying it. I did not particularly love it the first few days, but the last couple of days, especially, you know, breathing more steadily and not rushing up the hills, that's really helped a lot. I kind of like it. And that's just a great opportunity, you know, for that gremlin voice I've been talking about, that voice of the dictator or the critic that's always looking for a way to kind of whack us in the head. And that's what's happened on these walks some days. And I think, this feels great. I'm really enjoying it. And that voice says, "Yeah, what's going to happen when your partner goes back to working out at the Y every morning? Really? You think you're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go for a 3 mile walk by yourself? I don't think so." Right? Suddenly something that's pleasurable, that I'm enjoying, I've ruined. with that, when that voice shows up and kind of ruins the happiness that I'm feeling. And I think that that's something to also be thinking about when we talk about what is the obstacle to happiness. When is it that I have it and I just absolutely throw it away in anticipation of it going away anyhow, right? So those are three ways that I think we have a tendency to throw away our happiness. And I want to distinguish it from the situation that we might be in right now. So I want to say really clearly that I think challenging the habit of mind that of waiting for circumstances to change in order for us to experience happiness is not a suggestion that we deny material reality, right? The radical changes to daily life, significant illnesses, job loss, uncertainty at every turn, that's the material reality that we're all facing. But what I want to know, and I want us to think about, is can we distinguish between the mindless habit of seeing our happiness as a hostage to external forces versus responding mindfully to material conditions of our lives that are putting all of us at risk? For me, right now, more than ever, I need a greater capacity for equanimity, for balance. I need a deeper understanding of my habits of mind so that I can differentiate between mindless thought processes that cause suffering and the material realities that are a threat. And recognizing the difference, and I would argue, clears the path so that I can take more thoughtful action. So, what are we going to do about this habit of mind? Well, we're going to take a break. And when we return, we're going to talk about some key concepts and strategies for challenging ourselves to change the habit of waiting for happiness. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
In to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens with Colette Marie Stephan is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by your mind? Powerless when it seems to spin in worry circles or bombard you with self-critical thoughts? Do you want to learn how to master your mind and feel more in control of your life? Listen to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio, Shift from Confusion to Clarity, Self-Doubt to Confidence, and from Anxiety to Peace and Balance. Dr. Friedman and his many guest experts share the insights and tools you want to live with greater ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in to Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with Pet Communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So our conversation today is about happiness. When can I be happy? And we've talked about the idea that we tend to have a habit of mind of putting obstacles in our path, of identifying things that have to change in our life, things that have to disappear or go away or transform, or people that have to go away or disappear or transform, or the habit perhaps of even throwing our happiness away in the moment because we're anticipating changes to our circumstance. So we've differentiated that from what we're experiencing right now in terms of the material reality of the pandemic, so that we can clear the path between and notice the difference between a kind of mindless habit that creates worry and negative and fearful thinking, and the action that we need to take in order to keep ourselves and our families safe. So a couple of key concepts that I think are helpful in thinking about mindfulness in general, but also about this habit of identifying obstacles to our happiness as those kind of external forces. And the first one is called, is the phrase limiting beliefs. Now, this is something that we talked about an incredible amount and is really central to the life coaching practice that I learned in Martha Beck's class. It was a really great experience. And this idea of limiting beliefs is really important, and it's important in her work and that of several other people. But that's where I really came across it and worked with it. So it's a limiting belief is simply a closely held belief about how we think the world ought to work, And some of us are more aware of than others of really having some pretty strong ideas about how we think the world ought to work. But becoming a student of our own mind means becoming aware of the habits of mind, and that's a pathway to identifying limiting beliefs, because they can often be the source of suffering. Because limiting beliefs tend to take the form of should statements or ought statements. So I should be able to work a full-time job and write a dissertation. And if I was a good, strong, intelligent person, I would be able to do this. And the fact that I'm struggling and suffering is just pure evidence of what a loser I am, and I'm a terrible person. So when I think about that experience of writing my dissertation, I'm very aware of the amount of mental energy I spent chastising myself, criticizing myself, energy that could have been turned in a different direction, but I didn't have the ability at that time to create any distance between myself and those beliefs and those terrible, negative, judgmental thoughts. So, you know, that's really our goal as we think about limiting beliefs, and we've talked about this before, is creating space between that negative dialogue, that dictator voice, and the more essential self. So, one of the limiting beliefs I realized I had about a week ago was, I'm very lucky. I have a friend who talks to me after the show and gives me feedback, and I'm so grateful to him and so appreciative. And we were talking last week, and I said this thing that I didn't even know I thought, but it was very helpful. I said, you know, I just think I should be able to, now I do this weekly, right? I should be able every week to create a full, I mean, word for word manuscript of what I'm going to say in this show. Every sentence, you know, carefully crafted, beautiful word choice, poetic if possible, right? And then on the day of the show, I ought to be able to deliver it in a manner that's absolutely extemporaneous. I mean, that actually seems like it's coming just off the top of my head and purely spontaneous. It was helpful to say that out loud and to realize how it both that I actually thought that somewhere deep inside, that it was the standard I was kind of judging myself against, and how utterly impossible it was to do both of those things, particularly if you imagine a person who has in her life often experienced crippling writing anxiety would be able to produce a pristine 20-page manuscript every 7 days. Who am I? Who do I think I am? And where does it leave me to have that limiting belief? I should be able to do this. This is how the world ought to work, is that I can do this, the manuscript and the beautiful spontaneous delivery. Well, you know where it leaves me? It leaves me with that voice, that critical voice, or in my case, that diva that only speaks at an operatic volume in my ear. Wow, you can't do this, can you? I knew you couldn't do it, right? Oh, did you write the manuscript this week? I've never done that. But if I had, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of criticism of that delivery. I'll bet it was very stiff and very weak. Oh, you didn't write one? What's wrong with you? Why can't you do that? I'll bet you had a lot of verbal flubs and missteps and misstatements, and you're just so lazy. Why won't you work harder? So that's how a limiting belief might work in my mind, and does work in mine sometimes. So I want you to think about, what are those should and ought statements you have for yourself? What are the perhaps impossible standards that you are holding yourself to? And you know, you might be more aware of that now more than ever. When I think about a friend of mine who works full-time, now is working full-time from home, now has two young children, one I think 5 and 1 7. So these are not children who can take themselves to school independently, right, at the computer every day. And her expectation of herself to be a perfect employee, to be a perfect parent, to be a perfect partner, to have a perfect clean home, right? You can understand wanting all of those things, but it's that internal dialogue that is so hard on her, that is telling her that she ought to be able to achieve that. If she was a good enough person, if she was a smart enough person, if she was a hardworking enough person, she would be able to have perfect happiness in all of those areas all of the time. So, you know, that's one thing about this situation, is that maybe it's bringing into more stark relief these kinds of expectations that we have of ourselves. But like my dissertation, when the pandemic goes away, some of this is still going to be part. If we haven't challenged this internal dialogue, it's still going to be there with just different circumstances. So, you know, the second thing that we talked about was bringing this kind of double bind to our relationships, right? These impossible statements where we say, you know, you ought to be able to do two utterly irreconcilable things. I lay that on myself, but then I also am going to lay that on my partner sometimes, right? That question of, if you loved me, you would be able to anticipate my every need without me ever having to articulate them. If only. Well, not really, because right. Nobody is that way, and would you really want somebody to be that way? I'm not sure. But I think that concept of the double bind is another one, along with limiting beliefs. And I think that, you know, you can see how they work together. A limiting belief is often an articulation of a double bind, of two absolutely irreconcilable demands or choices. And when we can't do both, that's when we often tell ourselves that we're failures in relationships and our work lives in some sense. And that's very, very damaging. And so that's the belief that we want to challenge. But first, that's the key to of mindfulness, right? Is to bring it to conscious awareness so that we can say, oh my goodness, I actually believe these two things that are impossible to reconcile. So the other concept that I want to mention and think about and ask you to think about as you try to struggle to work to challenge these beliefs is impermanence, right? A very important Buddhist concept, right? That the world is always in change. There is always flux. There is never a still point, truly. I like to do that thought experiment when I listen to people like Jonathan Faust's podcast. He does great talks, Buddhist talks and mindfulness talks. And he will sometimes, you know, just sort of stop. And I might ask you to stop right now to say, even as you sit here, what is the still point? What is not changing, right? Nothing, right? My hair is growing. The sun is moving across the sky. I'm talking or not talking. You're thinking or not thinking. Stuff around you is moving. There is always change. But I also think about this in the context of these obstacles to my happiness, because I realize that more than a kind of a, you know, centered Buddhist philosophy, I really think about it more in terms of Rosanna Dana, right? If you ever listen to her, Gilda Radner's brilliant character on Saturday Night Live, she would come to the end of her observations and say, you know, if it's always something. If it's not one thing, it's two. And that's the thing about this notion of these obstacles to our happiness, that if only X, then I'm happy, I'm content, I'm at peace. The problem is there's always something, right? As soon as I finished my dissertation, I had to worry about going up for tenure. As soon as I get a new job, I have to worry about fitting into the new environment. As soon as I move to a new location, I have to worry about selling that house in the other location, right? There is no still point. There is no point at which there isn't going to be an obstacle. And so then the question is, what can I do, right? I can start to notice what are those should and ought statements in my life that are limiting beliefs that I am using in a sense against myself to keep myself from finding peace, contentment, happiness. Tara Brach is one of my all-time favorite people to read. She wrote a book that I hope all of you will read called Radical Acceptance. One of the things she says is that the ocean is not afraid of the waves. So for me, all of this conversation that we're having about mindfulness, about bringing peace into our lives in a very intentional, conscious effort to bring awareness to the present moment, without judgment, to really be a student of our own minds, to understand where our mind tends to go so that we can challenge these limiting beliefs. All of that is so that I can be the ocean, right? The ocean is vast. The ocean is so vast that a wave is not going to destroy an ocean, right? I don't want to be the swimmer in the waves, right? Being buffeted about all of the time by these ideas about when can I be happy? What does happiness look like? When will I get rid of these obstacles so that I can find peace and contentment, right? I want to be the ocean. I want to be the ocean because the ocean's not afraid of the waves. So I am looking at the clock, trying to make sure I know what's happening. So I have a final idea about something you might do. So one thing I may ask you to think about is that metaphor of being the ocean and not the waves. And another thing, another strategy, as opposed to a key concept to think about, is when we are in the presence of these kinds of thoughts about the obstacles to our happiness, I would ask you to think about asking yourself questions. Now, this is something you might do at 2 a.m. if you're a person who wakes up and worries about all of the things that you have to do in order to be happy in your life, all of the reports, all of the changes, all of the stuff, and that are obstacles, that you might ask yourself, at this moment, is there anything I can do about any of those things? Now, sometimes there might be, right? Maybe getting up at 2 a.m. and doing something would actually relieve some of the pressure or anxiety. But oftentimes, when we're worrying, we're not in a place where we can do anything about the thing about which we are worrying, right? If I'm driving in the car, I cannot get the house cleaned up, right? If it's the middle of the night, I cannot have that difficult conversation with my boss that I'm anticipating, that I think my happiness lies on the other side of, right? So to be honest with ourselves or clear with ourselves to say, here's the thing that I am struggling with at this moment. Is there anything I can do about it? And if there's not, to give ourselves permission, in this case, to go back to sleep, right? To say to myself, I'm going to be better able to deal with that thing when I've had a good night's sleep. But another kind of way to ask that question is to say, am I safe right now? Do I have what I need right now? Right? When that worry monster takes over and is just coursing through us, to ask ourselves some questions about what is true right now. I mean, that is the practice of mindfulness when the worry monster comes, is to say, okay, worry monster. Literally, I say this to myself. I don't always use the phrase worry monster, but I see the thoughts and I think about the thoughts and I say, okay, but right now, am I safe right now? Do I have what I need right now in this moment? Can I do anything about the problem right now in this moment? And that's a way of creating that space between ourselves and that dictator voice or that fearful child voice, and to say, okay, I see you. I recognize you. I have compassion for you. I understand that you are afraid. But in this moment, I don't have anything to be afraid of. In this literal sun shining, this time of day, this day of the week, I'm okay. And that is, again, a way of kind of clearing the path so that I can differentiate between that mindless worry monster versus the genuine things I want to be able to do and change in my life in order that I can know peace, no contentment, no happiness. But I can start with myself. I can start inside. And that's the one thing when I think about the pandemic crisis, each of us has different challenges and obstacles that we're dealing with. And I want to know that the one thing I know I can do is take care of my state of mind. I can be a student of my own mind so that I can see the habits that the places I tend to go that are causing fearful and negative thinking. And in doing that, I can bring more peace. I can breathe more easily. And that matters. Right now, that matters. Each of us who can bring more peace, more easy breathing into our own lives, that helps. It does not fix the reality of the external situations, but it does something helpful. So breathe easily. 3 quick deep breaths. 1 more, relax. What's your intention for the next hour? If you'd like to learn more about my work, you can go to McGuireLifeCoach.com. And I hope you'll join me next week on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. It's been great to be here with you today, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Be at peace.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know you already have everything you need to live a vibrant and powerful life? Who you are and how extraordinary your life is affected more by your mindset than anything else. Tune in live each week to Vibrant Powerful Moms, Mondays, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern, to join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests to help you create an extraordinary life. For more information, visit VibrantPowerfulMoms.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Hi, everyone. Did you think I'd signed off? Yeah, I actually had. Lost track in what I was doing. I told you I was nervous because this was the first one on my Facebook page. Okay, sorry about that. I hope some of you came back, and if you didn't, we're not even having this conversation, right? So I want to, we've been talking about happiness. We've talked about the obstacles to happiness. We've talked about the way in which we use those should and ought statements to get in our way of saying that we have to wait for something to happen, something to change in order for us to be happy, that we maybe need somebody else to change in order for us to be happy. And then the third category that I didn't really follow up on, and so I'm going to do it now, is the idea of throwing our happiness away. So the other day, you know, a lot of us are staying home to stay safe. And one of the ways that we manage to fill our time, if we have a lot of time, which not everyone does, it's kind of remarkable how much more work this has made for so many people. But someone like me, I'm looking for ways to spend good quality time with myself. And so I'm doing more baking. So that was my plan on Monday afternoon. I was going to make banana bread. I love banana bread. Partner loves banana bread. I use a great recipe. I just want to say a little cardamom and a little ground ginger really improves any banana bread recipe. So I went to the cabinet and I pulled out the canister of flour and the canister of sugar. And they're clear canisters, you know, those kind of plexiglass ones. And I looked at the one with the flour in it and I thought, oh, do I have enough flour? I'm kind of holding it up here slightly above my eye level. And I give it a really good shake. And then I have flour from the top of my head, all over my glasses, down the side, and a large puddle on the floor. Now, I'm confident that if anyone had been there to record the moment, I would easily have won the $10,000 on America's Funniest Home Videos. But at that moment, I was not laughing. I was actually near tears. I felt the tension in my chest. I felt the heat throughout my body. Of course, my first thought was a curse word, but my second was a question. Who failed to close the lid tightly on the container? But I was alone in the house, so there was no one to yell to or at, no one to vent at, which was really actually pretty great because it gave me some space. I didn't have anybody I needed to react to, and I couldn't immediately yell at someone for what I presumed was my partner's error, which probably wasn't because I do a lot more baking, but I think she's less careful about closing lids, but regardless. So I just stood there, and I actually stood still for quite a while because there was flour everywhere, and it's flour. So there's the particles in the air. It was covering a very large space around me, and I took me a minute to even kind of figure out how to proceed because I was just by moving, I was making a mess. But I stood there also, and you know, because I've been doing this work, I was able pretty quickly, I think, to notice what was happening, not just to have it be happening, but to notice it happening. I was angry and I was really aware of wanting to be angry at something. You know, I wanted to be angry at my partner because I really wanted it to be her fault. I was angry at the situation in general that I had made this error, right? Because even if she hadn't closed the lid properly, there was no really good reason for me to shake the canister above my head like that. And so that practice of quieting my mind that I've been doing really allowed me to notice how furious I was. And I don't mean to say wanting to be in just the sense of I wanted an object of it, but the habit, right? The habit of mind of being absolutely enraged in this moment about what was happening. So I was really noticing my thoughts, noticing what they were about. And it's not, I assure you, an argument against anger, because sometimes anger is extremely important, very well placed, it's needed. Sometimes we don't have enough access to our anger. But in this particular situation, I had to ask myself, you know, what's anger going to get me, right? Then I thought about how much I wanted to blame someone. And that made me think immediately of my childhood, right? That my siblings and I all had the same mantra, don't tell mom. Because nobody wanted to be caught doing anything that would upset her, right? To be blamed, to be in the wrong, because no kid wants that. And my mom was pretty expressive, let's say, when she was angry. So I was aware of that. And, you know, I, like many people, I grew up in the kind of waste not, want not culture. So what were all of those thoughts about? I should be careful. I shouldn't be wasteful. I shouldn't be careless. I, right, all that should and ought, how the world ought to work. I'm failing in this moment because I have failed to live up to kind of these almost impossible standards, right? Because mistakes happen. People do make mistakes. And so even in a trivial situation, really, ultimately, there was this opportunity I felt to throw away my happiness. And I know myself well enough to know that there are times when that's exactly what I would have done, right? Absolutely disgusted with myself that I've done this, right? And in, you know, these times, it's not going to the grocery store to get more flour is not a simple proposition. And if I get there, there may not be flour in the first place, right? So I could just imagine myself kind of throwing myself into a chair in a huff and giving up on the day, right? Giving up on the afternoon, giving up on the project. Ugh, I'm a failure, right? I've done this really stupid thing. And so it was great to be able to see it. And to notice it coming, it was almost like it was, you know, sort of a train coming at me. And I always like to be clear. I don't think in every situation in our lives we can say, well, I can choose to be happy or not. But I do think we can notice when unhappiness is coming towards us, when we have a habit of mind of throwing our day away, our time, our feelings away, and saying, okay, I'm giving into this. I'm just going to go sit in a chair and sob, or I'm going to go distract myself with something that's probably not in my best interest because I just feel crappy about this thing that I've done, this stupid, trivial thing that I've done. So I didn't. I noticed how I was feeling. I thought about the habit of mind that produced those feelings. I was still kind of cursing and grumbling, particularly as I was cleaning up the flour, and I should add that there was more than enough flour to have made several loaves of banana bread. I'm not sure what my concern was when I saw it, but whatever. And I was able to, now, did sunshine break out? No, because I did still feel kind of crummy. And I actually let the banana bread project go, right? I did not rush to the grocery store because we don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. And I just let that project go and I went on to something else. It wasn't a perfect afternoon. It wasn't sunshine and roses, but neither was it sinking into that feeling, right? And throwing what had been a perfectly fine day entirely away. And also, I realized that if I had held on to it, by the time my partner got home, I would have had quite a story to tell, and I would have ruined her evening as well as I tried to figure out whose fault was it that the lid wasn't closed tightly. So, when we think about our happiness, we want to ask ourselves, see if we can get into a place of constructive dialogue with ourselves instead of the angry dialogue of the dictator and wild child voice. Instead, can we go a little bit deeper and say, I recognize this habit. I see it. I want to inquire about it. And I want to remember that this feeling is going to pass. I can let these feelings pass through me. So, now I am going to close the show and say, if you would like to learn more about my work, you can do so at maguirelifecoach.com. That's M-A-G-U-I-R-E, lifecoach.com. And you can also like my Maguire Life Coach page on Facebook. I just learned to say that today. And next week, we are going to talk about the story. What's the story we're telling? And what is that story doing to us? So I hope you will join me. It's Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And I'll be back next week at noon Pacific time, 3 o'clock Eastern. And I hope you'll join me. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.